Early this week, John Harbaugh said that Roquan still had a chance to play because he was not officially ruled out of the game. Today, Zach Orr said they're still hopeful that Roquan's going to be able to give it a go, even though he literally has not practiced all week. Team, keep it clean. I think we can read between the lines on this one and say that Roquan Smith more than likely will not be giving it a go against the Chargers. And it's unfortunate, too. Because Roquan Smith, although he had been struggling a lot this season, we saw flashes of that old, that good thing with Roquan Smith in his Steelers game. And we were like, okay, that's nice. And just when we got the best version of Roquan Smith in 2024, he goes down with this hamstring injury. But hopefully he can be back next week. And hey, barring some miracle, some crazy recovery from his hamstring, maybe, just maybe, he'll be able to give it a go against the Chargers. But again, I highly doubt it. Team, keep it clean. We got a lot to talk about in today's video. Before we get into it, make sure you subscribe to the channel. Turn on notifications on. And even though we don't like this news, and I hate to send you into the weekend, especially after the Browns, they took care of the Steelers last night. So that got us all hyped. We were like, okay, let's go, Cleveland. Thank you. But then this came along. But it is what it is. Ravens got to adjust accordingly. Make sure you leave a like on the video. And it's kind of cold down here in Florida. It got to 55 degrees this morning. I was freezing, man. But thank goodness I got my Heart of the City Human Joystick Zay Flowers hoodie. You can get yours too. The link is down below in the description. And they also got some Black Friday deals coming up just for y'all. Y'all make sure when you check them out, you use code ENGRAVEN25 for 25% off your entire order. They're really hooking y'all up. So, Roquan Smith, what is going to happen in his absence? Well, first, with the green dot, and again, the green dot is the person, whoever wears the green dot on defense, they're the person that relegates all the plays to the defensive players. They let everybody know, hey, this is what we're doing. This is what we're lining up in. This is the plan for this play. They said that when Roquan Smith went down against the Steelers, that they gave the green dot to Kyle Hamilton. And obviously, he did his thing because the defense, they were still on point. But how will they replace Roquan Smith? Because Kyle Hamilton, he's a safety. And we know, I've said it a million times, if we had 11 Kyle Hamiltons on defense, oh my goodness, we would be unstoppable. But we don't. So what do the Baltimore Ravens do? Well, Zach Orth said they may do a sort of a linebacker by committee type of thing there. But who could it be? Well, you got Malik Harrison, you got Chris Board, you got Trenton Simpson. So we'll see how they work it out. And he said it's going to depend on what type of offense the Chargers are lining up in, what type of personnel they're bringing out. So that'll dictate what the Baltimore Ravens do at the linebacker position. But that's going to be a tough task because while Roquan Smith did struggle a lot of the early parts of this season, he showed a little flash here and there, but he hadn't been looking too good. It's crazy because the best game of the season, when we get the best version of Roquan Smith in 2024, it happened in the Steelers game and then he ended up getting hurt. But again, hopefully he can come back next week and he'll be good to go. I think he should be able to, but we'll see. Only time will tell. Now, there were some other people who were missing practice as well. We got a surprise person pop up on the injury report, and that was Tyler Linderbaum. He did not practice today. So, not overly concerned because this has happened before. Hey, he might not practice on one day, but then end up still playing. And he's practiced all week, so that's a good thing. So, I don't know. I don't know with Tyler Linderbaum. We'll see what happens with him. But Nelson Agholor, he did return to practice because he had a little sickness yesterday, but he was back there today, so that's good. But also some other people who still didn't practice, Travis Jones, that sucks. That's a really big blow if Travis Jones can't, because, yeah, he hadn't practiced all week either. He has not practiced. And imagine, like, y'all know the impact already that Travis Jones has on this entire defense. On the run defense, definitely on the pass rush. And if he can't go on Monday night, because remember, in the Steelers game, he was hurt. Like, his ankle been bothering him for weeks. It's been a while. And he left the Steelers game temporarily, came back, was really not himself. So he's been dealing with this ankle injury for a minute. So if he can't go against the Chargers, they got a J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins been balling. And Herbert been doing his thing, too. So, yeah, that could play a significant role. And then you think about Roquan Smith, too. If he can't go, than what the Chargers could possibly do to the middle of the Baltimore Ravens defense. So it's going to be a lot of pressure on the Ravens defense in this game. It's a lot of pressure already, regardless if they were playing the Chargers or not, because we saw what they did last week. They did not allow a single touchdown in the entire game to the Pittsburgh Steelers. The same Baltimore Ravens defense that had been giving up touchdowns, passing touchdowns to literally everybody. But they didn't allow a single passing or rushing touchdown in an entire game. That Ravens defense? Yeah, that Ravens defense. So there's already pressure on them enough. But now this adds to it with the possibility of no Travis Jones and the possibility of no Roquan Smith. Arthur Millett, he still hasn't practiced yet. He's still dealing with his calf, a hamstring injury. And Sanusi Kane, he did not practice either. So with these injuries, again, it's not looking good for Roquan and Travis Jones. But unless there's some, like, some craziness that happens, then we could be without two of the biggest impact players on defense. Now we reach my favorite part of these videos where we get to hear your questions. Let's get straight into it. First one came from my guy Kenny from B-More, who is a Team Keep It Clean patron, which I appreciate. He said, "Hey, Graven, it's your boy Kenny from B-More. Hope you and Carter and the wife and the new baby girl are doing fine. We doing lovely. Appreciate it." He said, "Justin Tucker, Tuck. Why is our boy missing so many field goals? I think he's doing too many Royal Farms commercials, LOL." Why you gotta do JT like that? He said, "I really like number 25 playing deep. I really would like to see what Desmond King can do because Brandon Stevens is not cutting it." Now, with Desmond King, we'll see. But with Tre'Davious White, I think we should see. Because hey, what we saw from him in that game the other day, it was A-OK. So why not? He also said, "Now back to the offense. Why are we not feeding King Henry the ball? Everybody knows if he gets 15-plus carries, he's taking over the game. Why not just run it? It's not like we were that far behind, but I'm not the coach. Our offense needs consistency, and it starts with Lamar. To me, he did not look like he was into the game, and I feel like the players around him felt as well. They feed off his energy, and I didn't like his energy for the Steelers game." He said, "Me, you, and the rest of the Team Keep It Clean family get on here and say the same thing every day. I know the players and coaches are listening, but nothing is really being done. I'm just shaking my head at this point. I hope things can get better. There's not too many games left, and if we want to make a run for the Super Bowl, there are some things that we need to clean up on both sides of the ball, but it starts with John Harbaugh and the coaching staff. But once again, who am I? I'm just an outsider and a fan. Sorry for the long paragraphs. Hopefully everyone a part of Team Keep It Clean stays safe, be good out there, and just like the Ravens might be when it comes to the Super Bowl, I'm out." And he said, "P.S., we finally getting snow and be more." Oh, yeah, y'all can keep all that snow. It got to 55 degrees here, and I was freezing. Thank goodness I got my Heart of the City hoodie. But if I ain't have it, I'd be very, very, very cold. Now, with what you said, Lamar wasn't into it. I disagree. I didn't get that vibe at all. I disagree. Like, Lamar's into every game. He's trying to win every game. He had missed a couple throws early on, but I wouldn't say he was like dejected or not in the game at all. I didn't get that from him at all. But yeah, I mean, everybody got to pick it up. Coaching staff, players, personnel, all of that. So Ravens, this is a good game for them to have a nice turnaround. Next question came from another Team Keep It Clean patron, my guy Derek. He said, "Engraven, all this talk about the Ravens winning the division is good, it's great, but here's a plot twist. I don't want them to win it. I want us to be a wild card. Why you say? Because we play better on the road as underdogs than we do as the favorites. Home field advantage is an illusion. Once January gets here, that doesn't exist. Mahomes is unaffected by that. The Steelers are unaffected by that. M&T Bank Stadium is Heinz Field 2.0 to them. On a roll, Lamar has more urgency to watch more film, act fast, revert to his natural talent at home. I think it's complacency, to be honest with you. What are your thoughts?" I disagree. Home field advantage, still home field advantage, and you won it. But bottom line, just get to the playoffs. Get there. That's the biggest thing. I know a lot of Ravens fans feel this same way. They're like, "Oh, no, I don't want home field advantage. I don't want the first round bye." I want all of that. I want any possible advantage that the Baltimore Ravens can get. And look, they got that last year. Didn't work, but was it anybody else's fault but theirs? No, it wasn't. It wasn't. So it's up to the Baltimore Ravens. Everything that you're talking about is mental. Everything. Every single thing is mental. So the Baltimore Ravens need to develop a more mature, hungry type of mentality moving forward. This question came from my guy DeVale. He said, "Blessings, King. Ravens stress me out, especially Todd Monken. I feel versus the elite teams, his play calling is terrible from the AFC playoffs versus KC to this season versus certain teams. The games we lost, Derek wasn't involved at all, for real. The teams we lost to, we shouldn't have. I blame Todd for that. And of course, weak defense plays a part." Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. Obviously, the defense, they were not doing their thing 99% of this season. But they did have some moments where they did, like against the Bills, against the Broncos, even though that was Bo Nix just missing those, but certainly against the Bills and then obviously against the Steelers as well. But yeah, the Todd Monken, I really think when teams really challenge the Baltimore Ravens, the best defenses that challenge the Baltimore Ravens are the ones that get really physical with their receivers from jump. That really jam Zay Flowers, jam Rashad Bateman, and just really throw them off the entire route. And again, it's not only that, because again, you're going to have corners that jam you all the time, but I think it's those teams that go in there with that mentality, like, look, Ravens are cool, but they ain't about to bully us. When the team goes in there like that, then they start messing with the Ravens head from jump. Defense and kicking. Next question came from my guy Gus. He said, let's start with the defense. Absolutely beautiful. I mean, Trey White was balling out. Marlowe was doing his thing, and they were showing why he's built for the North. Safeties were doing their job, but we got to get a block on special teams. Justin. Now, we know he ain't going to go nowhere unless he hangs the cleats up, but I think it honestly could be close to him hanging up the cleats. If he would be what you're thinking about Adam Bakken from the Montana Grizzlies. I don't know. He said Bakken is 24. He's 6'4", 209 pounds as a kicker. And his attempt to break the world record for a recorded field goal tied it at 74 yards. He holds a world record for ball speed on a field goal with 82.9 miles per hour. And he's accurate from everywhere. He's even made a kick in the back corner of the end zone on a completely perpendicular kick just for fun. Who's this guy? It sounds like you're talking about a creative player. I never heard him before. He said, I asked you about Bakken, who made a field goal from 76, and he's reliable from everywhere with any kind of shoe, ball, snap. He is literally Justin Tucker 2.0, but we know he ain't going nowhere unless he retires. Hope you and the family team keep it clean, all doing good. And with that, just like the Ravens offense, when it comes to facing the Steelers, I'm gone. Hey, if we could get a glitch at kicker, a cheat code at kicker, I'd be all for it because we used to have one, but he ain't so glitchy no more. Next question came from Meridian. He said, I ain't Raven, hope all is well. This is my first time sending in a question. I literally been watching it for years, but anywho, hey, appreciate you. Thank you for that, and thank you for sending the question too. He said, I just got done watching the Harbaugh presser where he mentioned Kyle and Washington playing free and strong safety role, which worked out great. Do you think the Ravens should grab Jamal Adams to play the sort of hybrid role Kyle plays close to the box and blitz packages and keep Kyle on the back end? They could, but they don't really need to. I think somebody who could help play that role is already on the team, that being Brandon Stevens. Next question came from my guy Andre. He said, what's good and great, Raven team keeping clean? I hope all is well with you and the family. I was blessed to go to the game in Pittsburgh yesterday, and there was an apparent difference in how the secondary played. The defense has struggled to get to the quarterback, but in yesterday's game, they sacked and hit Russell Wilson multiple times. This was due to the secondary covering long enough to allow the defensive line to make a play. What are your thoughts on this? Should they bench Marcus Williams and Eddie Jackson permanently? Thank you for your accurate analysis, and have a great week. Hey, appreciate you, Andre. I wouldn't call it accurate. We just be talking all talk, but I don't know if it's accurate. But yeah, this they've already said it's a permanent thing. It should be a permanent thing. Don't try to fix what's not broken. You saw how well it worked. And is it going to be like that every single week? No. Do we expect the whole team to no touchdowns every single week? No, that would be great. But we can't realistically expect that. But to see just the significant difference it made from what we watched this entire defense this whole season, yeah, you got to keep it going. Next question came from my guy Israel. He said, hey, I couldn't send this fast enough. I was in a rush with that question, but I guess I was asking you, do you think we can make it to the Super Bowl with an average record? LOL. But thank you for reading my question. I got my years mixed up with Steelers week. Gets us all out of whack. LOL. Stay blessed, my brother. And thank you for all you do. No, thank you. And it's all good, man. And of course, all you got to do is get into the playoffs and anything can happen. Next question came from my guy Asit. He said, hey, Engraven, back again from South Africa, Cape Town. Thanks for reading my last question. It's always fantastic to hear your thoughts. No, it's always fantastic to hear your thoughts, not mine. But anyway, he said, I got a few reflections after this week's game. Trey White, what a performance. This man fought for every single snap and held his own better than any DB outside of Kyle Hamilton, Marlon Humphrey, NW2O, Nate Wiggins, and Brandon Stevens. Truly remarkable. Given it was his debut, I had serious doubts about that trade, but he proved me wrong. I think a lot of us did. He said, while Away had a fantastic game, this shout-out is all about Trey stepping up. He needs to be featured more in the schemes moving forward. I think we all can agree with that. Number two, Lamar Jackson. Lamar was out there playing Superman. Every completed pass looked like he had to physically hand it to his receivers with almost no pass protection. That part right there, that doesn't get talked about enough in that Steelers game, and really a lot throughout this season. Because we've seen so many times. We've seen times where Lamar been in the pocket, chilling and whatnot, but we've seen a lot of times where Lamar had to roll out because he's getting a lot of pressure, getting a lot of people in his face, so he got to roll out and make some craziness happen. But anyway, he said, with almost no pass protection, he was constantly fighting for his life, scrambling to create something out of nothing. His receivers didn't help either. They weren't fighting for the ball, and when Lamar scrambled, they weren't trying to get open. It felt like they were afraid or just mentally out of the game. Watching that was torture. Knowing how critics would jump on the stats to slander Lamar without acknowledging the lack of support he has, we all saw the game. While Lamar deserved some criticism, it wasn't solely on him. That's true. That's why we always talk about context is key. And he also said, Todd Monken, this ties back to my earlier question about Monken letting opposing teams dictate his play calling. The game was never out of reach. Running the ball wouldn't have hurt the clock, and the defense, for the first time this season, held their ground. What's the excuse for abandoning what was working? The play calling was atrocious. There's no way around it. As far as the run game, the Steelers, they were all over Derrick Henry. Like, straight up, they were all over Derrick Henry. And then a lot of times the Ravens would be all over Derrick Henry because when he would get a good run, there would be a big penalty. So with the run game, it ain't like, it's not that they got away from it, but it was just them penalties, man. The penalties were killers. Them penalties would back the Ravens up, make a first and 10, a first and 20, or first and 15. The penalties were changing so much when it came to Baltimore Ravens run game. Next question came from my guy, Aaron. He said, hey, man, been watching the video since Lamar's rookie season. Appreciate that, my guy. He said, well, I'll wait for you to read two superstars who made an impact on my life because I want your reaction and thoughts about it and share it to those who experience different but get inspired. Do you think we fixed the defense because I saw Geno wants to come back to us? As always, 34-23, Ravens win. Oh, okay, you think it's going to be one of them type of games. I can see the offense definitely bouncing back, though, for sure. Especially because when Ravens go against a really good defense, they usually show out. Usually. I mean, Steelers minus the Steelers game. But when I ain't heard or seen nothing about Geno wanting to come back. I've been seeing a lot of Bengals fans saying that they are not feeling Geno at all, though. So it's rough over there. Next question came from my guy, Omar. He said, hey, Greg, I appreciate you and all the entertainment you bring to covering the Ravens. I watch your post because you bring a unique and genuine flavor to following a team that doesn't exist elsewhere. Appreciate that, Omar. Thank you, man. He said, my comment is about the Ravens' offensive line. They did some shuffling after Andrew Voorhees got hurt early in the season and stuck with it during the winning streak, which was fully understandable. I agree, 1,000%. That's what we always say. Don't fix something that's not broken. Andrew Voorhees, unfortunately, got hurt. Offensive line, Pat McCarry stepped in. They shuffled some stuff around, had Rosengarten go to right tackle, and they were running all over people. They were doing their thing. So I was like, hey, no, you got to keep that. Don't just force Andrew Voorhees back in there because he was a starter, but you got to keep it. But anyway, continuing. He said, I think now is the perfect time to ensure they have their most efficient five on the field. By efficient means those who are least likely to commit a holding penalty, be illegal downfield, or worst of all, make a pre-snap mistake. The Ravens offense is highly effective when they avoid getting themselves off schedule. That is perfect. Perfect. You could have ended it that. You could have sent one sentence and said, the Ravens offense is highly effective when they avoid themselves getting off schedule. Boom. That would have been it. Because that's so true. We see it all the time, man. We definitely saw it in the Steelers game because penalties, some of them penalties were legitimate. Some of them, but penalties are penalties, so it is what it is. But, yeah, penalties, they throw everything off. He said, my question is, do you think the Ravens are set with their starting five offensive linemen for the rest of the season, barring injury? I think they could be better, but I think the Ravens are going to keep the guys who they have, and they're not going to change it. I do think they could really be a better offensive line if they made a change, maybe to Falele, because Falele, he's gotten better than he was early on, of course, with experience and whatnot, but still, there's been a lot of struggles there, too. Who else? Who's the, and Pat McCarry, that's another one, too. So, there's been a lot of penalties, so much. Is Josh Jones that much worse? I don't know, or maybe you could even move Falele, I don't know, man, but yeah, but they're gonna stick with who they got. And he said, happy to be a part of Team Keep It Clean group and a Patreon member. Appreciate your insight. Keep up the great work, my brother. No, I appreciate you, Omar. Next question came from my guy, Ejon. He said, Engraven, Team Keep It Clean, we're still going to win a championship this year if the game plan stay consistent. See, I like you. I like that. All these people after a loss, they're like, oh, we ain't no Super Bowl team. We can't win a Super Bowl. But I've been saying the same thing, too. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. He said, in 7 wins, Henry has at least 20 rush attempts. In 4 losses, Henry averages 13 rush attempts. Why can't Harbaugh and Monken see this simple truth? Again, with those numbers, yes, you're right. But that Steelers game, it was the penalties were messing a lot of stuff up. Because we would even see Derrick Henry break off a decent run because they were stuffing him a lot. But we would see him break off a decent run and we're like, yeah, then, oh, flag on the field. Oh, it's coming back. But anyway, he said, my question is, do you think we should go for it on 4th downs more often? Anything outside of 30 yards, Justin Tucker can't be trusted. Oof, that's so sad to say. Like, imagine if somebody sent something like this 5 years ago. Anything outside of 30 yards, Justin Tucker can't be trusted. And really just take out that 30 yards part. If anybody said anything about Justin Tucker can't be trusted, we would have been like, what? Ravens fan would have been at somebody's neck. But nowadays, they're like, oh, well, buddy, you got a point there, buddy. He can't be trusted because he can't. And it's sad. But I think depending on how far they are away from a first down on a 4th down, I could see them starting to go for it a little bit more. But we'll see. He said, just like Brandon Stevens and Marcus Williams losing their starting jobs, I'm out. Ooh, that's painful right there. Next question came from my guy, Gerald. He said, what's going on, Unc? Dang, I'm old. Boy, don't call me Unc, boy. Anyway, he said, Engraven, this is my first time sending a question to you. I've been a subscriber since you, UCF Jaguars, sent the link to your channel during 2020 when the Ravens smoked my other favorite team, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I'm a senior now, so I've been subscribed to you for 4 years or 3.5 years. Either way, just want to say you're the best in Ravens YouTube of all time. And that you will disagree, but stop being humble and take pride in this. And I'm very grateful to be a part of Ravens flock. I appreciate you. And yes, I do very much disagree. But I still appreciate you, though, man. He said, and we will win the Super Bowl this season, but also hope you and the family are doing well. I can't believe we lost to the Steelers like this every time, man. It's so annoying. I almost punched a hole through my laptop. Don't break your laptop, please. Don't break it, because you're going to need it, especially for schooling. Just in general, too. How you going to order food? I mean, you can order food online from an app or something like that, but how you going to look up Ravens tickets? Well, you can look up Ravens tickets for an app, too. I mean, you can do everything through apps nowadays, but don't break your laptop, because how you going to watch Ravens games? Because if you try to watch it from the phone, I mean, you can do YouTube TV, but if you ain't got it and you're looking at one of them other sites. Anyway, he said it. We will win the Super Bowl this year, but these are the five reasons why our Baltimore Ravens lost against the Steelers. He said, number one, when we were up 7-6, we ran a play and it was a fumble, but if we kneeled it, it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened, but that would have gave the Steelers an opportunity to score, because that was, you're talking about the Isaiah Likely fumble, and that was right before halftime. Steelers had all three timeouts. If we kneel the ball, Steelers use the timeouts, they get the ball, they could possibly score. Number two, he said, Justin Tucker missed two field goals in the first quarter and the second quarter, which would have helped us win 23-18. That would have changed the game. Could it have made the Ravens win, helped the Ravens win? Yes. Is it a guarantee the Ravens would have won if he made those two field goals? No, but it's a completely different game if he makes those field goals. So true. Number three, your offensive line can't block and so many holding false starts and illegal players downfield. No arguments there. Number four, our wide receivers can't get open to save their life, and it actually upsets me that we didn't get Devontae Adams or Sutton from the Broncos. There have been a lot of cases when the Baltimore Ravens offense, I mean, their receivers have struggled to get open, especially against more physical type of defenses, especially with a great pass rush, too, because you put those two together, physical defense and a good pass rush, that's a problem for the Ravens. He said, number five, Lamar Jackson looked like he was scared to play today. Scared? I didn't get that. Besides, somebody else said it earlier. They said he looked like he wasn't all the way into it, but anyway, he said, fire John Harbaugh, and we are still winning the Super Bowl, but I pray John Harbaugh doesn't get in our way. Also, huge shout-out to the Ravens defense for showing up today, and hopefully we can get more games like this more often for the rest of the season. Yeah, hey, hopefully we can. Hopefully we really can, because if we can get more stuff like that, then Ravens are going to be in some really, really good shape moving forward, because they got the squad. Next question came from a guy, Jonathan. He said, so I was watching Bobby and Sarah Sunday night, and when Sarah said she was confused as I was, my mind started roaming, and I thought about a scenario where the Steelers called that timeout because Mike Tomlin wanted to get the right coverage for whatever they were doing, and John and Lamar are talking, and Lamar tells John, I got it. Why not have Derrick Henry with you in the backfield? That's it. He should have been there. Whether it was a Lamar keeper, whatever, he should have been there. Because just the threat of him being on the field, it changes everything. He said, because we've seen in games where Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry are together in the backfield and you have to pick your poison. When you just run with Lamar, it's too predictable. When you add in Derrick Henry, who's to say who's getting the ball exactly? He said, I just think that they need to keep him on the field. If you're trying to save him for the playoffs, that's understandable. When you need two yards to potentially go to OT and Derrick Henry is not out there, it's baffling. I agree. Next question came from my guy, Jarvo. He said, something I heard from Coach Evans that a lot of fans don't want to hear. If you look at the AFC standings, if we lose two or maybe three more games, there's a chance we might not even make the playoffs. I know we will make it, but this is something to think about if we keep playing non-Raven football. Oh, no, we all understand that. We all know that. Like, Ravens, they can't slip up. Like, they're very close, and they're like, I think right now, they would be like number five or six. So they're like, they in right now, but you slip up, you could be very, very much out. So Ravens got to be on point. That's what this game against the Chargers, a must-win game. And they got to keep it up, because there's a lot of other AFC teams that's fighting to get in too. Next question came from my guy, Ryan. He said, there's a difference between culture and coaching. John is a culture guy, but highly inept as a coach. We have seen the same narrative for years. Oh, my goodness. Woo, he's starting off so powerful like that. Chill out, Ryan. He said, I know we're past the trade deadline, but I would love to submit a dream trade scenario. Can we please trade John for Jim? Ooh, you sure? You sure? Hey, let's watch this game on Monday Night Football and see if you still want to do that. But anyway, let's continue. He said, I propose that coaches face the same level of accountability and uncertainty as players. I know this sounds wild, and I'm laughing as I'm typing it, but for real, bro, how do we get rid of this guy? Ooh, my goodness. You don't, because you can't, and you never will. Straight up like that. Harbaugh, he is penciled in. No, he's pinned in. He's tattooed in as Ravens head coach until he wants to leave. Harbaugh is never going anywhere. And that's why we repeat it all the time, just so fans know, like, look, you may want it, you may dream of it, but it's never going to happen. Anyway, he said, coaching has been our weakest link for years. I'm becoming numb to it all. I don't even get excited about this team anymore because I know the letdown will soon follow. I can't see us winning with this staff. They are stubborn, overly analytical, and plain boneheaded when it comes to play calling. They can't see the forest for the trees. Oof. My guy, Ryan, he is over. But, hey, hopefully this is the year where the Ravens, they get out of their own way. And at the end, they holding up that trophy.